Let's turn and read Psalm 56. Psalm 56. And as you can see, a few weeks ago, we started to look at some of these Psalms that will occupy us throughout the summer Sunday mornings, that have a heading and that can give us a background into 1st or 2nd Samuel. And Psalm 56, and the background to that is for the director of music to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks, whatever tune that was, of David, a Maktam. Maktam is probably a literary or a musical term. And the history is, the background is, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. And so we'll have a look at that when it comes to our sermon. But the psalm reads, "Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Amen, and may the Lord bless his word to your hearts. There are three psalms that come out from the one chapter. We looked at Psalm 52 a few weeks ago, Doeg the Edomite, Doeg and David. And we're looking at them in order. Psalm 52, Psalm 56, then next Sunday, God willing, Psalm 34. But you can see the background of this psalm here. When the Philistines had seized him in Gath, and let me just read just a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10. "That day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, 'Isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands.' David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, 'Look at the man, he is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you do?'" Now, that was saying something about the boys that were around him. "Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" And then Psalm 34, the title of that, which we will look at next week. And it's one of the better known psalms. Psalm 34. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my lips," and so on. Verse 7 is a well-known verse. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Verse 8 is well known. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." But the title of the psalm is of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. So it's all from the one chapter. Funny in the title, it doesn't say when he pretended to be insane before Achish. It says Abimelech. Abimelech seems to have been the lordly title of the Philistine leader, just the same way as Pharaoh was the title of the Egyptian king. But you can see David's strange behaviour. Now, we'll look more at that next week, how he pretended to be insane, scratching the doors, as if he had lost his mind. And he let the spittle run down onto his beard, frothing at the mouth. What a way to behave. Just to get out of a situation. And here we see his strange direction as well, that he left Israel and he went into Philistia. People love the Psalms because they express the thoughts and the feelings of the one who's going through or after an experience, and people can identify with the Psalms. David didn't write them all. But in these two Psalms, in 56 and 34, there is desperation, there is confusion on David's part. Why did he leave Israel to go into Philistia? He was running away from Saul, but did he not trust God just at that particular moment? He learned lessons here. He certainly trusted God afterwards when he wrote this psalm. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? But he had to learn that. David was only human after all. And one has said, whatever possessed David to flee to Achish, the king of Gath, would a steer walk knowingly into a meat grinder? Yet here is David showing up in Goliath's hometown with Goliath's sword, apparently hoping to find sanctuary. David didn't practice Psalm or Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I think of those verses often, I quote them often, because I think it really shapes a person's life and thought. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. David was certainly leaning on his own understanding when he went and stood before people like this. And when he behaved the way he behaved, he leaned on his own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. David wasn't acknowledging God in this situation. And he shall make your paths straight. Another has said that David had the spiritual jitters. He was rattled. And you can be like that at times. And yet, you know, David was laden with promises. He knew he was going to be king. He was born to be king. We meet David for the first time in 1 Samuel chapter 13. He's not mentioned by name. He's mentioned by spiritual disposition. He's mentioned by Samuel that he was a man after God's own heart. David, he was a young man. He was maybe still only a teenager at this time. And yet he's described as one after God's own heart. My, wouldn't it be great if all our teenagers were described like that, had a reputation like that? Do you see him? Do you see her? They have a heart for God. They're after God's own heart. They just want to do what pleases him. In 1 Samuel 16, you'll read where Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse because God has instructed him to anoint one of his sons to be Saul's successor. You know, David is, as the youngest, he's deemed that unimportant. They don't even call him in from the fields. He's out looking after the sheep. They don't even bother with him. His older brothers, they all stand before Samuel, and the Lord says, I haven't chosen this one. I haven't chosen this one. I haven't chosen this one. Samuel says, do you have any more sons? Well, the youngest is out in the fields. Bring him in. And the Lord says, this is the one I have chosen. And that day, David was anointed to be king over Israel. Eventually. But in between times, Saul takes a strong dislike to him, and Saul is looking for him actually to kill him, and that's when David hides from Saul. And he leaves. He fears man more than he trusts God. But he learns that. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Because he got his eyes off mortal man onto the immortal God. And so he makes the journey from Israel to Philistia. And one has said, when David crossed that frontier, he was backsliding from the will and the promises of God. You see, we have Philippians 4 verse 6 that David didn't have. For all of our situations, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. This is a psalm of anxiety, this Psalm 56. David is anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That verse fits into this psalm nicely, as we'll see. David's reputation preceded him. He arrives before Achish, king of Gath. The servants of Achish said, isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And verse 12 says this, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. And I have read that in all the life of David, and of all the biographies that we have in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and so on, David is the one that's recorded the most. We meet him in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and the rest of the book of 1 Samuel, which is about half the book of 1 Samuel, the whole of 2 Samuel, until his death is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 2. And that's quite a chunk of the Old Testament devoted to the life of one man, of David. He was a shepherd. He was a soldier. He was a leader. And 1 Samuel 21 verse 12 is the only mention of David being afraid. It's the only time where fear is expressed. He's afraid before the king of Gath. And Psalm 56 expresses his feelings, his emotions. During this experience, certainly I'm after this experience, and just a simple outline of the psalm is this. The Philistines harassed David. And what did David do? David hoped in God. And what did God do? God helped David. Look at the harassment here from the Philistines. Verses 1 and 2, "Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me all day long. They press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Men are attacking me in their pride." Verses 5 and 6, "All day long they twist my words. They're always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life." David didn't know what was going to be said about him next. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. It was a very unpredictable situation. Very uncertain days, all day long, all day long. It was relentless. It was daily. The gossip that was going on behind his back. Imagine what this must have been like. Maybe nowadays we would call this bullying. And we can know the effect that bullying has on people. Maybe you have been bullied yourself in school or in work. Being bullied, it's an awful experience. People are bullied verbally. They're bullied physically. Now we talk about cyberbullying over the internet and texting. And young people can be bullied that way. And it's a tragedy when we hear of someone who has taken their own life because they just cannot stand it any longer. Being bullied. It's an awful thing. And can we put this word in here? The word David was being bullied. The Philistines harassed him. And you know, when you think about it, David is a child of God. It's not surprising that he's being treated in this way. When we think of how Christ was treated, when we read through the Gospels, that there are those who were seeking to twist his words. The Pharisees and the religious leaders were plotting to harm him. They were conspiring, they were lurking, they were watching his steps to take away his life. And eventually they did. When you think of the church right throughout history, this has been the story of the church. Harassment. And when you think of the individual Christian, don't be surprised if you're treated like this from time to time. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble." It's just unavoidable. You will have trouble in this world. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And that should be the desire of every professing Christian, to live a godly life. And if you do so, you will be persecuted. And the terrible thing is, and it's almost embarrassing to say it, but some of the persecution mightn't come from unsaved people at all. It may come from professing Christians, those who are maybe less spiritual than you. and they think that you're taking this too seriously, and they will let you know about it in different ways. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. David sought to live a godly life. He was a man after God's own heart. You can't have a higher goal than that. The Philistines harassed David. Yes, his persecution was coming from those who were pagan, those who were non-Israelites. And you expected that. The Philistines harassed David, but what was his response to that? How did he cope with that? David hoped in God. Verses 3 and 4, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Verse 9, then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. So he repeats what he said in verses 3 and 4. He's not letting go of this. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So yes, he was afraid. But David showed his faith. And I want to say that fear and faith may coexist, but one must conquer. Which is the one that's going to get the better of you? Your fear or your faith? Getting your eyes off mortal man and getting your eyes and trusting in the immortal God. Who else is there to turn to? What else is there to turn to? When I am afraid, does David say, I'll make my own plans, I'll take matters into my own hands, I will deal with these people, I will seek revenge? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. It is God who will deal with enemies. Verse 9, then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. Who else is there to turn to but God? What else is there to turn to but his word? And that's why people love the Psalms. They can identify with them. The different experiences that the different psalmists went through. David didn't write them all. He maybe wrote most of them, but he didn't write them all. And the thoughts and just the emotions, we can identify with them. Yes, I've gone through this. There are times when I've been afraid. And what have I done? Did I trust in God the way I should have? And to know this, that as a Christian, well, those of you who are Christians, as a Christian, whatever your circumstances, whoever your enemies, God is on your side. Verse 9, then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. David is talking about people who were against him. These Philistines are against me. But God is for me. That's a better situation to be in than to have people for you, your enemies for you, and God against you. If God is against you, you've lost everything. God is for me. God is on my side. Paul put it like this in Romans 8 verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And what is said, there is assurance that God is a present help. Hence the fear of man vanishes as mist before the rising sun. And if you are in a situation, it mightn't be like David's. But if there are situations where you're in and they cause fear, then Psalm 56 is just a lovely psalm to sit down and read. And to do what David did. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I don't know what you're going to do, Lord. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I will trust in you nonetheless. I'll just leave everything with you. David hoped in God. And what did God do? God helped David. Verses 7 and 8. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Verse 13. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of my life. I see some things in this psalm about God. I see the justice of God. The justice of God is one of the attributes that we've looked at on Tuesday nights. The justice of God. Genesis 18 verse 25. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And I said at the start of that study that nobody anywhere at any time will ever get away with anything. Nobody anywhere at any time in this world's history will get away with anything. They have to stand before God. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. God will judge those who harassed David. God will judge those who harass any of his children. The justice of God. We see the record of God. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? You know, just reading between the lines here, David must have shed tears in this situation. He must have shed tears. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. He was not dry-eyed in this situation. Are there not those situations that cause tears? Maybe nobody else knows that you shed those tears. Maybe those tears were shed behind closed doors. Nobody has known anything about them. Only your God. God has recorded every drop. Record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. And you know something? We see, therefore that leads us on to another thought about God. The knowledge of God. The justice of God. The record of God. The knowledge of God. We read from other scriptures that God knows every hair on our head. I know when you look at mine, you might have a few problems with that, but I read somewhere that the average human head has something like 100,000 follicles. And God knows every hair that grows out of those follicles. Matthew 10 verse 30. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows every hair. God knows every step. that we take. Job 31 verse 4, does he not see my ways and count my every step? God knows every thought. Psalm 139 verse 2, you perceive my thoughts from afar. And add it to that list. Where God helped David, and the justice of God, the record of God, the knowledge of God, he knows every hair, every step, every thought. He knows every tear. He knows every tear. Whatever causes those tears, God has taken a record of that. Whoever has caused those tears, God takes a note of that. And there are some things that are forgotten in life, and the years pass and all the rest of it. But God knows every time you shed a tear. And God knows those who caused the tears. And you know something, in the midst of it all, David didn't throw the hands up and say, I'm going through a hard time, this is hard. What's God doing in my life? And he just stops praying and he stops reading and all the rest of it. David continues to worship God. Verse 12, I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you. Worship just isn't for the easy times and the nice, comfortable times of life. David was going through a hard time and he wasn't going to cease his worship. I am under vows to you. Now, those of us who are married, we took vows. And you might take vows in other situations. And when you become a Christian, that moment you become a Christian, it's as if you're saying to God, I'm making vows now. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to love you with all my heart. You're going to be first in my life. I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you. It didn't affect his worship. I want to say it, obligations assumed in the hour of distress to be discharged in the hour of relief. And whenever you worship God through the hard times and you come out through the other side, then those times when there is a bit of relief, they're blessed times. And you just put the past experiences, as David I would have done with this, to experience. It was an experience. He proved God in that experience. And he became stronger as a result of it. Because the psalm closes in verse 13. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling. It would have been easy for me to trip up. But you have delivered my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And this is where faith took over. This is where he became strong. This is where he came out through the other side. This is where the psalm ends on a positive note. It ends with David in the light. Whereas it begins where he's in a dark place. Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And I want to say it in this short psalm, we have climbed from the ravenous jaws of the enemy into the light of God's presence, a path which only faith can tread. You might be in a dark place at the present time. Whatever the circumstances, it's still a dark place the same way as David. But I trust and pray that you will come eventually to verse 13. Where you can say, you have delivered me in this situation. You have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Get your eyes onto the immortal God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. God willing, Psalm 34. Next week, you can have a look at that, because as I've shown, it is linked to this psalm.